Begin the current daf, so the ksuba is daf tzadihei. We begin three lines down the top of the yamud, but the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of this parak, parak Mishnah Hayunasoi, someone that was married to more than one woman, and the complications that come out from that type of a situation. So the Mishnah begins, Misha Hayunasoi Beis Nashim, somebody was married to two women. Umacher Esadehu, and he sold the field, which was Meshubit, which was the lien of their ksuba. Well, how do they know they're going to have to collect their ksuba when they get widowed or divorced? So he creates a shibur, a lien, on a specific field for their ksuba, and he sells that field. The kasva rishayna. Now, the woman that he had married first, who her lien is has a precedent, it comes before the second woman, she writes lelekeach to the purchaser of that field where the shibur of the ksubas are on, din udvarm ein liimach, don't worry. I will not contend with you regarding this field, although there's a shibud, and therefore I could go ahead and collect from you. She says, don't worry, I'm not going to contend with you. So the halacha is, she cannot take it away from him, because she said din advarm, but hashaniya maitzia, when the husband dies and they're coming to collect the ksuba, so the second woman can take it away from the lekech. And that's taken mehalekech from the lekech. V'rishayim in hashaniya, but the first woman could take it away from the second woman, because the first woman has rights before the second one. And therefore, since the second one is taking it away, she says, wait, my ksuba comes before yours. But, valekech min rishayna. Now that the first one takes it away from the second one, so then the purchaser says to the first woman, say, wait a second, you said regarding this field that I purchased, you're not going to contend with me. So he takes away from her. Now, v'chayzus chalila, this circle continues to keep on going because now that Lekech has it back, so the second wife says, wait a second, I have a shibud, and she takes it away. And so therefore the cycle continues, actually asab shar b'neim, until they find type of a way to compromise and find a way to settle amongst them, because this circle will continue indefinitely. The Mishnah concludes, the same thing is for the following two cases, the same idea, v'chein b'achayv, same thing applies to a creditor, and v'chein isha b'alaschayv, same thing applies to a woman who she's a creditor, and her husband's estate, which the Gemara will explain exactly what are these two cases referring to, which the Gemara will explain the same type of idea, where you have the same three different people involved, and that circle continues until they compromise. Now, the Gemara wonders regarding this halacha at its core, that is, v'chikas v'lei mahava, what does it help? What is the difference that the first woman who had the shibud of her ksuba on that field, who when she writes to him that didn't varm ainli, don't worry, I won't contend with you, and therefore she cannot, and that's how this whole thing starts, where therefore, the lekech takes it, second woman takes it from him, and so on. But we learned in the Braisa, ha'oimel chaver, if someone tells his friend, din udvarm inli al sadazu, I don't have anything to contend with on this field. Or the inli esikba, I have nothing, I have no business with this field. Or v'yadim misulakas, and let's say he's a partner with him, he says, don't worry, and my hand is removed from this. So halach is, whatever the situation is lo yamar klum. He hasn't said anything. That's not a kinyan. That's not a real halachic acquisition or removal. So the fact that you say, I have nothing to do with it, that has no halachic relevance. So why do we say that since she says she has nothing to do with it, so then the second one takes, and the first one takes it from her, and Lekech takes away from, the Lekech has nothing to do with it. The first woman should be able to take it. The fact that she said she's not going to contend shouldn't remove her rights from taking it away from him. So that the Gemara says, Hachmai Eskinu, what we're told about over here in the case of our Mishnah is, Bishakonu Miyada, which is when the lekeach, the purchaser, regarding that although the first woman has rights in her shiba to take it away from him, not only did she agree and even write it down, this agreement that she's not going to contend with him, he actually made an acquisition. As the Gemara says in Perek HaKesef, that where there is an actual acquisition in the actual body of the land, then that's an actual kinyan, and therefore now she cannot contend, because it's not just words anymore. It's not just verbiage, it's actually a halachic acquisition, and that's why she can't take it away from him, only the second woman could take it away, and that starts the whole cycle. But the Gemara still asks, you're right, generally making a kinyan will work, but in this situation where we're talking about a wife who the husband sold the land that was supposed to be for the two wives' ksubas, and then although the wife even made a kinyan on this, agreeing to go ahead and say din advarim ainli on what my husband's selling to you, but what's the difference? Tema nachas ruach asisi labayli. She should be allowed to say, I just wanted my husband to feel good. I was doing it because of peace in the home. Because mila tanan, didn't we learn the Mishnah Masechta Gittin that says, If lokach min ha'ish, if somebody purchased something from the husband, b'chazra b'lokach min ha'isha, then, just to enforce his acquisition, he goes and purchases it again from the wife. And that, the Mishnah says, mekhe batal, that acquisition is null and void. Which sounds like totally, even when the husband's still alive. Now the Gemara Bava Basra explains what this halacha is talking about. Why are you purchasing from the wife? What does she have to do with the husband's estate? It's talking about one of three fields. Either, like we're discussing over here, where it was designated for her ksuba, or that he wrote it for her in the ksuba, or is one of the things that she brought into the marriage, which is written in the ksuba. Either way, it's really her field that she has rights in, so therefore he goes to purchase from her. The fact that he purchased from him, and then even from her, and she agreed, it's not a good mekach. Why? We see, because we see that she could say, I don't really want to sell it to you. My husband sold it to you. I don't want him to be upset with me. So I agreed to sell it too. And therefore it's null and void. It has no halachic relevance. So therefore here also, even if you're telling me she made a kinyan on din advarim ainli, why is she doing it? Because her husband sold the land that's for Aksuba. Now she's thinking, what is he doing? But I don't want to make a big fuss. So therefore she agrees. But still halachically it shouldn't be relevant. So Amr Abzeir, Amr Avchizdi says, Loi kasha. It's not a difficulty from that Mishnah Masechet Gittin on the way we're defining the halacha in our Mishnah, because it's actually machlokes tanoim. Ha Remeir, the town of our Mishnah is Remeir, and Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the town of that Mishnah Masechet Gittin is Rabbi Yehuda, the town of the Braisa. Kasav, if the husband writes Lorishan, he writes a document selling one field to one person. Now Veloy Chasmaloy. Now in that situation, when the husband sold that field to the first person, the wife did not sign off on that sale. She didn't agree to that sale. Then the husband writes another document, b'sheni, to a different purchaser on a different field. The chas maloi, and for that purchaser, the wife signed on that she's agreeing to the sale. So if the ksubasa, so then she lost her ksuba. In other words, if there's no more available free property that's still in the husband's estate when he divorces her or when he dies, so now she cannot collect anymore from those lokuches. And the reason is because the first purchaser, although she didn't agree to that, and she has a shibud on all his karka, and therefore if there's no bnei chorin she should be able to collect, is because he could say, wait a second, what's called hinachti lach mokam ligvus, I left you place. You can't collect from shabbatim when there were still available bnei chorin fields to collect from. And there was still that second field, which wasn't sold yet at that point in time. So he said, I left you that second field. Now, moreover, what we see from Divrei Rav Meir, the opinion of Rav Meir, which is like the opinion of our Mishnah, is that, but neither can she collect from the second one, because she signed off on that. We see that Rav Meir holds that she can't say this idea of that Nachas Ruach Hasis L'Baili, I just wanted to agree, and just make him happy. And therefore, like in our Mishnah said, where she says Din Advarim, she makes a kinyan, same thing over here, where she went and she signed off on the second one. She can't collect from the first one because he left her the second one, and neither could she collect from the second one because she signed off on it. Where's Rabbi Huda Aimer, which is like the Tana and the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, he argues, he says, no, Yechayla Hisha Taimer, she could say, Nachas Ruach Hasis L'Baili, I just wanted to be pleasant and easy for my husband, and he was selling it, I didn't want to fight and argue with him. Sa'atem Malachem Alai, what do you have to do with me? In other words, she could collect from the second one, again, like the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, because she only signed off on it because she didn't want to dispute her husband. Now, that the Gemara concludes, the Rebbe, who wrote the Mishnayis, and he wrote anonymous Mishnayis, not saying who authored them, saw some lahacha here, Mesach Ksubis, he wrote anonymously Kereb Meir, which is that the woman cannot say Nachas Ruach Hasis L'Baili, and therefore Din Advarim Ainli has relevance when its kinyan was done, which is Kereb Meir. And saw some lahasim, and he, in Mesach Gittin, he wrote anonymously Kereb Yehuda, like Kereb Yehuda, which is that the mekach is batal, because she could say only you did it to do Nachas Ruach Hasis L'Baili, and that explains the contradiction between the two of them, because they're going like two different tanoim. Actually, some Rishonim, like the Tais Rid, actually learns this as a question. What do you mean? How could this be the answer that our Mishnah, like Rameh, that's like Yehuda, but they're Stam Mishnah? How could Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who put together the Mishnayis, write in one place as if it's agreeable one with the other without saying who it is, when it's actually a machlokes tanoim? So actually, the Gemara brings two different interpretations, which you could say it's going like one Tana. Amar Papa, he says that our Mishnah is talking about Begrusha, by a woman that's divorced, and then she wrote to the Lekeach, to the purchaser that her husband had sold to, then she wrote to him, Din Advarim Ainli. No, but Divya Kol. Therefore, our Mishnah could be like everybody, In other words, even like Rabbi Yehuda, who says the concept of Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili, which we see is brought down in the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yehuda too. Because even Rabbi Yehuda, who says Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili, the woman who's already divorced and then agrees to the sale to Lekech, obviously is not doing it for her husband when she's already divorced. And therefore, it doesn't contradict that Mishnah. Rav Ashi, I mean, he says, it could even be talking about that she's not divorced. And Kula, both Mishnais, which were written anonymously, our Mishnah Masechet Ksubis and that Mishnah Masechet Gittin, Remeihi. Actually, it's like Remeir. Now, so then how do we understand the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, which spoke about that when the purchaser purchased from the husband and then from the wife, that we said that the Mecca is going to be bottle, it's going to be nullified. Why should it be nullified? If Remeir is of the opinion that we don't say for the woman, Nachasru Chasis Labaili, is because Va'ad Kan Lekam Remeir Hasam, because this that we quoted Remeir before in the Brisa, that says that she lost her kesuba and that she can't say Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili, that's Ele B'Shnei L'Kuches. That's only because, as the case there that was discussing, was that there were two different purchases. The Amrila, because we tell the woman, look, Isa the Nachas Ruach Avadita, I mean, not like a Behuda. Behuda says she could always say Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili. But Remeir, who disputes that, is only in the case of when there's two purchases, where we tell her, if it's really true, that you just wanted, you're just saying yes to whatever your husband does because you want to make it pleasant for me, you don't dispute him, then then you should have done the same thing for the first one that he wrote to also. Now, we see that actually, by the first one he sold to, you didn't sign off and say, I agree to this too. Obviously, you're not so concerned with doing nachas ruach for your husband. Therefore, neither can you say, when you signed off on the second one, that you're doing it just for nachas ruach HaSis L'Baili. That's why he disputes it and says that she loses her ksuba. Aval, but the Gemara says, b'lekeach echad, when there's only one purchaser, as the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, then afilu Remeir Maida, then even Remeir would agree that the Mekach is going to be batal. Now, umasnitin, in other words, so it doesn't contradict neither the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, that's like Remeir too. He agrees to the concept of Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili. There's just one sale, and she signed off on that. She says, I don't want to dispute him. Now, umasnitin, our Mishnah, which said that her signature, her signing off to, and saying Din Advarim Ainli on the Lekech and saying it is a good sale, is the Kasavle, is where the husband had written La'achar to a different person as a sale before this one that she didn't sign off on. And it's only the second one that she did sign off, which is essentially like the case of the Braisa, where when you have two Lekuches, and the first one you didn't sign off to, and the second one you did sign off to, whether you can't say Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili. Because then why didn't you agree to the first one? Obviously, it's because you did it because you wanted to, not because Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili. And that's why, as in the Braisa, as in the case of our Mishnah, do we say that, so now she lost her Ksuba, because it wasn't Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili. But that's not contradictory of the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, which could also be like her mayor, where, of course, when there's just one situation that she signs off to, she could say Nachas Ruach HaSis L'Baili. Now, a related discussion, the Gemara brings Tanhasim. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet Gittin. It says, a classic halacha, that Eina from an Achasim Mishabadim, a person cannot collect from encumbered properties, meaning if someone is owed money by somebody, whether a loan or whatever the situation is, so you can't collect from things which were sold after the loan, which you have a lien on all his properties for the loan that's owed to you. You can't collect from something which is encumbered. Let's say you like that house or that field. You can't. If it's b'makim shesh nechasim necharin, if the person that owes you money still has available assets which is still under his name, then you can't collect from other ones. Even if it's the lowest quality, and generally you would get higher quality, less like beininess, doesn't make a difference. You can't collect from mishabadim when there's still b'nei charin. Now, Ibailu, the following question regarding this halacha. Ishtadif b'nei charin. Let's say, you're right, people that purchase from this person that owes you money, and therefore their fields could possibly have to go to you because it's mishabit to you, but they left b'nei charin. They knew that your loan is outstanding for $1,000. So when they purchased these fields or houses from this person, there was still $1,000 worth of assets left by this person. So they weren't concerned that you're going to grab from them because they knew that they're still available. But what happens if, after they purchased, that available lands, let's say, get ruined? Mao delitrif mimi mishabdi. Now what's the halacha? Could this lender, let's say, collect from these nechasim mishabadim? Because there are no b'nei charin. Now there were b'nei charin, but they got ruined. So what do we say? Do we say that since they left over, you can't collect from them? Or do we say that no, ultimately they got ruined and therefore you could collect from mishabadim? So the Gemara says, Tashimab, let's bring a proof in the Braisa we just quoted before. says Kasav Larishin Velechasmala. Let's say the husband wrote a sale document to one person and the wife did not sign off on that one. The second one that he sold to, a document, she signed off and then she agreed to that. So on that, if the ksuba sedivrei meir, meir says, so she lost her ksuba, as we explained. First one could say, look, I left you a place to go. And the second one, as we explained previously, even Reb Meir could agree that even if he would say that the woman could say, in this situation you can't, because the first one you didn't sign off to, and this one you did, and therefore she can't collect from either one of them. Now, on that the Gemara proves, and if you would entertain to say, that in this case that you're asking about, that if the available properties get ruined, then you could go back and collect from the Mishabadim. So on that the Gemara says, you're right. Even though she lost the rights to collect her ksuba from the second one that it was sold to, because she signed off on that one, and you don't say Nachas Ruach Hasis Labayli, but Merishan Miyotigvi, but she should be able to now go ahead and collect from the first one that it was sold to. The reason being is, quote, because her rights of the second one, which is available to her, got ruined because it's like Ishtadiv by the fact of now she can't collect from it. You're right, it's because she signed off of it, but now it's not available. So now she should be able to go back. From the fact that she cannot go back, obviously proves that if there were B'nai Charin, even though they got ruined, you cannot go ahead and collect from the Mishabadim. Now, that the Gemara rejects that raya. Amram Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no, my if, the what does it mean when the woman lost her ksuba now? It means if the Mishain, it means she just can't collect from the second one because she signed off on it. But really, it could mean that she could go back and collect from the first one now. Now, on that, Amar Rava, Rava has two questions. It says, Shtei Tshuvas B'Dava, there's two retorts to what you just said. Chada the if de legame mashma. It's not true. The word if de, she lost her ksuba, sounds like totally, not just from the second one. Vaid, moreover, Tanya, we learned explicitly in the Braisa that she cannot collect even from the first one. The Braisa says, Lava min ha'echad. If someone borrows from one person, umacher nechasal d'shnayim, so he borrowed from one person, and he sold his estate, his properties, to two different people. Now, v'kasev ba'al chayv l'lekeach sheni. Now, the creditor, who was the lender, wrote to the second purchaser of this person's fields, dinu dvarm ein li'imach, don't worry, I'm not going to contend with you, although there's an outstanding debt owed to me, which includes his properties, and he's selling it to you, and you're the second one to buy, but no, I'm not going to contend with you. So ein loy alekeach rishon klum. So now, the halach and the brice is brought is that not only can he not collect from the second creditor, from the second purchaser, the creditor cannot even collect from the first purchaser. Why? Neishayach aloymar, because the first purchaser could say to the creditor, hinach li loch mokum likvasim, and I left you place where to collect from this borrower of yours, because when I purchased, there was still another field. Now, he can't go to the second one because he wrote din and devar, but you can't come to me. So therefore, you see, and the conclusion of Rava's statement is, he says, look, obviously you can't say that when it says Ivdik Subasa, it was only from the second one, because as we just proved in this Braisa, it means even that it's lost from the first one, that you can't go back now to the first one and come collect from. Now, however, what Rava concludes is, so although he rejected the refutation of Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak to try to say that you could go back and collect from the first one, because if the ksubasa cannot mean just from the second one, it means even from the first one, but still he says that you can't prove the other way either. You can't say that, oh, so obviously that when it's ishtadav b'nei chari, you can't go ahead and collect from the mishabadim one, because you're saying if the ksubasa means not just from the sheni, but even from the rishon, and that he says no, because yes, there she loses her ksuba. And same thing applies by this, that in l'lekech al rishon klum, it's the same reason. The reason why you can't go back and collect from the first one is because hasam ihu de'afzid nafshe b'yadayim. There, in the case of the woman, or in the case we just quoted in this brisa, is where the person himself caused their loss. Because he wrote to the second one, or she wrote to the second one, din edvar mein li'imach, I'm not going to contend with you. Now that you can't compare to a shtadif when it gets ruined, because that happened by itself. And therefore, Rava says you can't prove either way. And therefore, the question still remains, what would be the halacha by ishtadif when it happens by itself? Because by this case, we were saying that they cannot collect from the first one, even though the B'nai Charin are not available anymore, because they caused their own problems. Who asked you to write din advarm to the second one? And therefore, maybe you could say that if it was ishtadif by itself, maybe you would be able to collect from a Shabbatim. So rather, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah L'Rav Ashi, he says, as we continue on Tamad Beis, And he says, what do you mean? These are incidents that happen every single day where judges judge. And since the available properties by the borrower get ruined, that they collect from the Shabbatim, which although they left somewhere, but now that it's not available, they collect from them. As we find out, who gavra the Mishkan Le Pardesa, there was a certain person who took his pardes in his vineyard and used it as collateral for a loan from somebody else. L'chavri L'Asushnin, for his friend for 10 years. In other words, that person will consume the produce of the vineyard for 10 years. Then, after the 10 years, he'll give it back without having paid for the usage of that field for the 10 years. Because he writes to him, he says that after the 10 years are up, then this field will come back without any payment. And that will go ahead and correlate to what he had borrowed from him. Now, what ended up happening was actually that Vakash, the vineyard, got old, L'chameshnin, after 5 years, and wasn't producing anymore. And the whole purpose of this contract that they had was that he'll be able to have the produce for 10 years. So they came in front of the rabbis. Because of Leiterfa. And you know what they did? They wrote for him a document that he could collect from the Mishabadim. In other words, he lent this person a certain amount of money. Let's say $100. Now, the value of that was 10 years worth of the vineyard. Now, but it only worked for 5 years. So it's still 5 years worth. Let's say that's the other half, which is $50. So therefore, he owes him money from the time he lent him, and they wrote this document that they could collect from Mishabadim. So therefore, he says, it happens every single day where when there is B'nai Chayrin, which was this vineyard for 10 years, where he was supposed to collect everything, and therefore whoever had purchased from this borrower thought that they're not going to collect from them because it's available, but since it got ruined, it was Ishtadif, so then you see that they could collect from Mishabadim. So that the Gemara rejects that proof. Because Hasam Nami, there also, it's the same idea. In who the purchasers who purchased this field from this borrower, who had used his vineyard as collateral, as responsibility for that person to consume it for 10 years, who dafsidu anafshayu, they caused their own loss. The reason being is because kivin dahaviyadi de pardisa avid de kish, since people know that vineyards do tend to get old and get used up, so to speak, early, and that the lender was going to go ahead and collect from the purchasers, lo yibayu lehu lemizvan, they shouldn't have purchased, and therefore it's no raya what would be when it happens by itself. Because here, they caused it. The purchasers caused it. The ones who have the Mishabadim caused it. That's why they could collect from the Mishabadim. But still, it doesn't answer the question, what would happen if everything happens by itself? Maybe there we would say that no, happened by itself, but we left, maybe you cannot collect from us. Or do we say the other way, maybe that even then, that the one who is owed the money, the Baal Chayv, could collect from Mishabadim. The Gemara concludes, the halacha is, ishtadav b'nei chari, if the available properties, which is owed to some Baal Chayv, it gets ruined, so tarfim mishabdi, then it could be collected from Mechaz Mishabadim, which although they had left over, but now that there's nothing available, it could be collected, ultimately had a lien on all the properties after the loan was made. Now the Gemara continues with the following halachas that will relate to the topic of our Mishnah. Amabai Abayis says, if somebody tells, as the Gemara will elucidate this later, tells to a single woman, Nichseilech, my properties belong to you, Va'achrayich leplanin, after you, once you're not here anymore, then it will go to that person. Va'amde benisses, then he went and he got married to this woman. So then what happens is halachically is Bal lekeach haba, as was instituted by the rabbis, that the husband has halachic status as a purchaser, as if he buys all the properties, what's called the nichsi melug, that his wife brings into the marriage, which she has all his properties now because he wrote it to her before they got married. So he's like a purchaser, and hence ve'en lachrach b'makom bal klum. So this second person that he had written it to after the wife doesn't really get anything because the husband is like the purchaser, the first purchaser of the wife, and now there's nothing left after the wife passes on to give to this other person. That's what Abayi said. And that the Gemara's come on, who is that going like that? We say that when something was written to one person, and then after that person, it should go to another person. If that first person sold it to someone else, which we're explaining is really the husband, then the second person doesn't get anything, who's that like? So that the Gemara says, Ki Aitana, it's going like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, which the Gemara is going to quote, who he says that the sale of the first person that something is supposed to go to is a valid sale and doesn't leave anything over for the second person. The Tana like Linda Braisa. Nichze leich v'achreich leplani. Same type of case. If someone says, my properties go to you, and after you, it goes to that person. Now, Yared Harishna Machar, if the first person that it comes to takes that properties and sells it off, Hasheni mitzi miyad alakuches divi Rebbe. So Rebbe says that no, once the first person passes on, it's either this person and then to me. So now the second person go ahead and remove what was sold from those purchases and take it for themselves. That's the opinion of Rebbe. But Rebbe Shimon Leah Loimer, and that's where Abaye is going, like he says, no, ein l'sheni elamash shai rishon. The second one only has what the first person left over. Whatever the first person consumed or sold off is done. And therefore Abaye is like that, where the husband bought everything, what his wife brings in, that's the halacha he has, and therefore nothing goes to the one that he had written goes achrayach. Now, that the Gemara asks, "Umiyom Abaye Hachi, did really Abaye say his halacha like Reb Shimon Gamliel?" But Vam Abaye, Abaye says, "Ezehu Rasha Arm, who is a cunning, wicked person? Zeha Mesi Eitza Limkar Benachasim. This is somebody that gives somebody an idea to sell the properties in the same type of situation where it was written to one person, and after you're done, meaning pass on or whatever, then it goes to this other person. Now, someone tells that person, look, let's make sure that second person gets nothing. Go ahead and sell everything off, and then the second one won't get anything. Kirib Shemlil, Shemlil. Abaye holds that's a rasha, that's a wicked person. So how could Abaye say, is halacham when the husband writes over something to this woman? And then it should go to someone else, and then he marries her, and therefore he doesn't have to give anything to that other person. That's the way of the wicked. So how could he say that's halacham? So now the Gemara answers, Mikamer Tinase, did Abaye say, is halacham in a way of active and instructive and saying, oh, if somebody does that, then he should marry that woman, then it won't go to someone else? No, that's actually wicked if we tell someone to do that. But rather, this is coming. It was just saying, if he happens to marry her, that's the halacha of what's going to be. But you're right, we don't tell people to do that. Now, another halacha of Am Abaye, and this is the one that's going to be come relative to the halacha of our Mishnah, Abaye says similar halacha, says, Nichsi Lach, if a man tells a woman that all my property belongs to you, which later on the Gemara will explain that this last statement of Abaye is actually talking about, he's talking about to a married woman. So he says, look, all my property goes to you, and then after you, it goes to that person. And then she sold it, and then she died. So, Habal Meitzim Yad Lekuchas. Now, as Rashi explains, the husband doesn't actually get it, as we're going to see ultimately. But in Halacha, if the husband would contend with that for his purchaser, really he could marry it in the law, because essentially the husband of any woman, which this person is giving it to this married woman, the first purchaser automatically, as we explained, the halacha of the Rabbanan is that he becomes quote the lekech, so he's the first purchaser. So although she sold it a day later, however, that doesn't give her the authority to the second, because the husband's already the first purchaser. But v'achrach miyad bal, however, the second person could go, the one that was written to this woman, and then after that, after you're finished, it goes to that second person, could then remove it from the husband. The reason being is because, although we just quoted before Abaye, who said that the achrayach, the second person, doesn't have anything when there's a husband, because we said he's the first lekach, so what is anyone, and it's already sold off to the husband, as we were saying, like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that's only, as we explained, as the Gemara will conclude this discussion, is if she was single, and then he married her. But if the person giving it to the woman was talking to a married woman, obviously he's saying, after you're done, I want to go to achrayach. What are you saying? You know it can't go to achrayach. She's married. It goes to the husband. The husband's the first purchaser. Everything's done. Because we go like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Obviously, what he's trying to say is that, no, that your husband will not get it, and that it will go to achrayach. So therefore, Abaye says, v'achrayach miyad bal. This other person could then technically remove it from the husband. But, v'lekeach miyad achrayach. Then the purchaser could really take away from that other person, like Reb Shimon. Because we're saying we're going like Reb Shimon, who says that the sale of the first person, whatever they do, is done. In other words, so what happens is that you have this cycle again. Because what happened is that the purchaser gets it, but the husband could remove from the purchaser because he's the first purchaser. But the achrayach could take it away from the husband, because obviously when the one who was giving it to her didn't mean it for the husband, meant it only for achrayach. But the purchaser could take it from the achrayach, because we're going like Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says that whatever the first one does, even the sale, is valid, and the second one doesn't get anything. But umakminan lekulu biyad delekech. So who ended up getting it is the lekech, who that's the last step we said, who took it away from the achrayach. And what that means is that Bezin in this situation doesn't keep the cycle turning. And that is, if let's say that the husband wants to take it away from the lekech, here it's different than the first time around where we said technically he would win against the lekech. Because what happens is that the husband, the first time around, could say, I was the first purchaser, and therefore I should get it, even though my wife sold it off to you. But this time, why does Lekeach have it? Lekeach has it not because his wife sold it to that person, but rather because Lekeach took it away from the Achrayach. Now, the husband cannot contend with the Achrayach, because as we explained, the Achrayach wins over the husband. And therefore, the Bezdin will not contend with the husband's complaint, as the Gemara will ultimately explain, and that's why who ends up getting it is the Lekeach and is not the husband. Now, that the Gemara asks, and this is why it's relative to our Mishnah, is Mishnah Ma'adit Nan. Why is it different than the Lach of our Mishnah? We said, V'chezuz Chalilam, we spoke about two women's Kesuba and one Lekeach, where the first woman wrote to the Lekeach, Din Advarim Einli, so she can't take it away, but the second woman could take it away. But then the first woman takes it away from the second woman. Then we said, but the Lekeach takes it away from the first woman because they're not going to get 10. But then the second woman takes it away and it keeps her continuing. Until they make a settlement amongst them. So why is it any different than over here? Why don't we say Lekeach ends with it? Why don't we say that the husband should take it away from Lekeach, then have the Achrayach take it away from the husband, then have Lekeach take it away from the Achrayach, and continue that circle until they have Pshar? Why does Lekeach end up with it? So now the Gemara differentiates that Hasam, in the case of our Mishnah, Islub Seid Lekulu, everybody loses something because the two women have their ksuba on the line, and this guy who's Lekeach, he paid money for the field. So therefore, everyone really has a right in it. Therefore, we can't say that one person should end up with it, so they have to settle. But Hacha Lekeach, who the Islub Seid, here ultimately the only one that really would be losing is the purchaser, because that person paid money from this woman who got all this nechasim from that person. The husband, who, so to speak, is Lekeach, didn't shell out any money for that. From Takanas Chacham, we give him the halacha of Lekeach. So he's not really losing. Neither is the Achrayach losing, because it was just given as a gift to this woman and then Achrayach to that person. So that person didn't invest either. The only one that would be losing is the Lekeach, and therefore when we keep the musical chairs going, the one that it stays by is the Lekeach, because that's the only person that would be losing. Now, Azul Rafim went and Amal Shmaita Kamed Ravashi. He said over this halachi statement that we just quoted of Abai in front of Ravashi, to which the Gemara asked, Miyam Abaye Hachi, so Ravashi asked, did Abaye really say this halacha? But Va'amar Abaye, and this was the first statement we had said over Abaye, which we pointed out would be seemingly contradictory. The first statement he said over was, Nichzei Leich V'Achrayach L'Plani. If a man said to a woman, he's writing all his properties to her, and after you should go to that person. And Amda Ben Nissis, then he went and he got married to her. So we say, Ba'al L'Lekeach Haba. We say that the husband is the purchaser, or if someone else married her, ve'en l'achrayach b'makom ba'al klum. So we said that the second person, as we explained, because going like b'shimim l'il, has no rights in that field anymore because the husband was the first purchaser, whatever sold off. So how in the second statement does he say when he writes it off to the woman that the achrayach gets it, why does the achrayach get it? The husband is the first purchaser and he should maintain that. So Amalei, so he said to him, no, it's different. Hasam, the first statement of Abaye is the Amar Lo Kishipanui, as we explained. So when she's single. So therefore, now that she's single, and then when she gets married, that's selling it off to the husband. Therefore, there's no Ma'achrayach L'Plani. Hacha, but in the second case of Abaye, the Amar Lo Kishinesu is when he told her when she's married. And therefore, my Amar Lo, what's he telling her? Achrayach L'Kni, someone else should get it. What do you mean someone else should get it? How could someone else get it if he knows that the moment she gets it, it goes to the husband? Because the husband is an automatic loikeach in all his wife's nechsei milug, whatever she gets, whenever she gets. So obviously he's saying that ba'al loy likni. Obviously that's understood in his words. If he's saying that someone else should get it, he knows the husband would get it. If she's single, he doesn't know. So therefore, if she then subsequently gets married, then it's like selling it up to someone else. That's okay. But if in his words right now, when he's giving it to the woman, he's saying Achrayach should get it, obviously he's saying that it's not going to the husband, and that's why the husband doesn't get it. And if Achrayach gets it, and therefore in that case that we discussed, the Lekeach actually ends up getting it, because Lekeach wins over the Achrayach, because it was sold off to the Lekeach, and again the Baal can't claim he was Lekeach Rishon, as we explained, because Achrayach wins over the Baal. Now the Mishnah concluded that similar to the case of our Mishnah, where we said about the two Ksubas and the one Lekeach, and that the first woman said Din Advarim Einli, and then the second woman takes, and then the first woman takes more, and so on. Same thing applies to Bechin Baal Chayv, same thing applies to a creditor, and so too a woman Baal Chayv, a woman that's a creditor for her ksuba. So what are these two cases? So Tanu Litna Braisa that explains these two cases. Bechin Baal Chayv, what's a case of a creditor? and v'shnei lekuchis. It's talking about a creditor and two purchasers. As Rashi explains the case, it's talking about, for example, if Reuven is a creditor of Shimon for a mana. Now, Shimon has two fields, and he sells both of them. This one for 50, and this one for 50, and the mana is 100. Now, the creditor writes to the second purchaser, din advarm ein liyam achdor, I'm not going to contend with you. Now, the creditor goes and takes away the field of the first person who bought. Now, here he can't say, oh, hinachti loch mokum ligvis, I left you a second field, because the debt is actually equal to both fields. So therefore, you can't say he left over, because that's only 50. The other 50 is your field. I'm owed 100. Now, the first purchaser, since he's owed b'achrayis, he who bought after him, which is ol meshubet to him, was the second one who bought the field. So he goes and he collects from the second one. Now, once the first one collects from the second one, so now the creditor goes and collects from the first one, because to him he never wrote din advar mainly. But now, the second purchaser goes to the Baal Chayiv, to the creditor, and says, wait, you're not going to contend with my field. The first one took it away from me, now you took it, but now you give it back to me. And that continues going again until they make some type of pshara. And the last case of the Mishnah was, what's Isha Baal Aschayiv, a woman that's a creditor. It means a creditor for Aksuba and B'shnei Lekuchis. And again, same type of idea with two purchases where she had an obligation that's Otar of Aksuba on her husband. And he sold two of his fields to two people, and both of them only equal the amount of her ksuba. And she wrote to the second person that purchased, don't worry, din varm ein liyam, I'm not going to contend with you. So the woman could take it away from the first one who purchased, and the first one will then go and take it away from the second one, and the woman will then take it from the first one, and then the second one will take it away from the woman, and then the first one from the second one, and so on, and the circle continues going again until they find the pshar again, because that's different than the case we said of Abaya, where only one person is going to have a loss. Here, whoever it is, they're all having loss. They're all losing out, either on what they bought or on Arksuba. And therefore, that continues again until they find some type of a pshar. Hadnulach Misha Yonasa, we shall return to you the 10th parak Masechtas Ksubis, the parak Misha Yonasa.